mentioned there are different types of minhogim. There are individual private minhogim. A person has his own minhag toiv. So we assume in your day that that's binding mitam neder. Then you have a minhag of the family. The Gemara on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, the Perek begins on Nun Amud Aleph. So Gemara on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Shema Beni Musar Avicha, Valti Tosh Torah Simecho, of that family minhogim. That's what it sounds like. That certain families had a minhag not to go to work on Friday because they were afraid they had to travel in the Mediterranean. They're afraid something may come up. So even though that's when they did a lot of business, the Yom HaShuk was on Friday, so they wouldn't do any business on Friday. Some people have a family minhag Friday after 12 o'clock. Even if it's a summer Friday, it's a long Friday, after 12 o'clock they go home. They don't do any malacha. So the Gemara says, Shema Midi Musar Avicha Malti Tosh Torah Mechon, sounds like a family minhag is binding. Then you have the minhag amokam. That's what all the Mishnayos have. Then you have a minhag of Kol Yisrael. Different types of minhagim. So let's say it says in Yerideya and Simi Reish Yudale that if a person has a private minhag and he no longer wants to observe, and the minhag is binding like a neder, mitam neder, and he no longer wants to continue observing, and say needs a hataras nedar. So how do you make a hataras nedar? So usually you make either a pesach or a charata. So let's say the person's going to say, I have charata that I ever observed the minhag toiv. That's called toya ala rishaynus. A person did mitzvahs, and then he has charata that he did the mitzvahs. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he shouldn't say, I have charata that I did the minhag toiv. You should say, I have charata that I didn't say b'li neder. You say, I don't have charata from the minhag toiv. That's what it says in the nusach. Shimono rabbi said, I am umchim. And then he mischarit chasu shalom ala maisim atoim shenahakti. Avcharata that it didn't say b'li neder. So there's such a thing as tarat nedar. So let's say a person too much to wait 6 hours between fleshik and milch. He doesn't want to wait anymore. He can make a tarat nedar. So the pashtus is the one who wants to be mata neder has to be the bala neder. So if it's a private meaning, I have a midas chasidus, whatever. I don't do any work Friday afternoon after 12 o'clock. No one else has that meaning. It's my meaning. So I'm the bala neder. So I could be matan neder. But if you have a minig to wait 6 hours, you have a minig not to eat kebroks or something like that, whatever, you have a minig to eat the shmura matzah all the Pesach. If that's not a private minig, if it's a family minig or a minig ha-kehila, so you can't be matan neder all on your own. You have to get the whole kehila to it. So either the whole kehila is going to be matan neder, or you can't be matan neder. I'm not the first one who decided to wait 6 hours. If I get all the Jews from Eastern Europe to be matan neder, no more 6 hours, then there's what to talk about. What if you get, let's say, the boy was learning in Eretz Yisrael and his parents couldn't afford to bring him back to America, so he had to be there for Pesach, and then he had to eat by his sister on Pesach, and his sister married a non-chassid, and they eat already gebroks. So what does the boy do? The boy's family minig is that he doesn't eat gebroks. So to say he's matan neder, he's not the balabas to be matan neder. It's not his private minig. It's the whole family meaning has that. The whole community comes from such chassidim, whatever comes from these chassidim, that they don't eat gebroks. So the pashtus is like the Dogam of Ovah writes on the side of the Eridea there, Reish Yudal, commenting on the Shach. He says the only time you need a hataras nedarim is if from now on I plan no longer to observe the minig period. But if once I get stuck, he got stuck in Eretz Yisrael. It's probably not going to happen again. He's going to come back to America after the year is up. Then he'll eat by his parents, or he'll marry a girl who will observe gebroks, whatever the story is going to be. He gets stuck once in a while, so it's self-understood. That's built into the minig toiv. Whenever he gets stuck, b'shas hadchak, so the minig is not binding. That's how the Dogma of Baba says. That's self-understood. That sometimes you get stuck, so then the midas chasidus is not binding. You're allowed to violate it without any hatar because he can't make a hatar. How can the person make a hatar if he's not the bala neder?
Let's say the person's father took on the minhag of his mother's family that was nine gebroks. Does that mean that it's not binding because really the father's minhag was the eat gebroks, but he just took it on because of the. Would that be...
He took it on, or his wife just doesn't cook? I didn't take anything on. My wife just doesn't make any kebabs. She's in charge of the kitchen. I don't think that's called a minig. The minig is if a person consciously doesn't eat kibrochs. But if his wife doesn't cook any kibrochs, he doesn't have what to eat. So it means that he doesn't dip the matzah into the soup. Usually all year long, he doesn't dip the challah into the soup. By the real misnagdim, they'll put matzah into the soup, you know, lachas, to show that they don't believe in kibrochs. Salavetchiks, you know, they'll put the matzah into show. Normal people, you don't have to demonstrate anything.
This is what happened. My grandfather took on the minhag of my grandmother.
Sometimes, you see, we usually assume if the boy and the girl are from different families, so we usually assume the girl enters the reshus of the husband.
Base isha.
Well, once in a while, let's say the boy's a ger, or the boy's a bal tshuva. He has no family minhag. So he marries a girl who's a sfardiya, whatever it is. So he joins her kehillah. It doesn't make sense to say that the husband and the wife belong to two different kehillahs. So either you say he joins her kehillah, she joins his kehillah. So normally, b'noyik shepo'ilam, you say the wife enters the beis abal, so she's probably joining his kehillah. Once in a while it makes sense to say faket. The boy's a bal tshuva, I guess, so he's marrying the girl. He's probably entering her kehillah.
This was probably, you know, she was going to do the cooking, so...
And if he would be away from home eating by someone else, he wouldn't eat kibrochs, or just...
I think the family took the minute because I don't eat kibrochs.
Either.
My father took it on also.
Okay.
But
it's a family
minute. But once it's not, according to what the Rebbe's saying, that it goes back to the kehillah. The truth is that the kehillah that my family comes from is not connected with this minhag.
Okay, no, you can
my
have
my grandfather decided that he wanted to take on this.
Right, so you can have a family minhag also. There's a private minhag, a family minhag, a minhag hamakom, and then you have a minhag of all Israel. So these are all considered minhagim. We assume that they're all binding, not like we discussed yesterday, the Rambam Shita. The Rambam seems to hold that private minhagim are not binding, it's just that you're permitted to observe a minhag. It's not a violation of Baptist. A family minhag probably also not. You're permitted to just a minhag hakehillah. So that's a binding in the sense that it shouldn't be in violation of parish menat tzibah. If we'll do differently from the tzibah, then it's an issa to be parish menat tzibah. But a private minhag or a family minhag, according to the Rambam, it's not binding. How does he read this Gemara? Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. I don't know. This Gemara seems to say that it is binding.
He's an unlearned person, and he had an hobby to do a certain way.
Yeah.
And his son is a
No, I don't think so. That's not called a minhag. Minhag means they know what they're doing and they decided like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We spoke a little bit yesterday about Yontem Sheni Shel Golius, but the Yontem Machloek is a Rishani, but the Yontem Sheni Shel Golius is a minhag or a takana de Rabbanu.
Can you be matir a family minhag?
I think only if the whole family decides they want to be matir the minhag. All the people alive from that family want to be matir the minhag. Like a cherem kohol. So the kohol can decide to be matir the cherem. Shvuas atzibah, minhag atzibah. The whole tzibah, whenever you want to be matir neder, so the bal haneder has to come and be nishal al haneder. Let's say I was mafresh truma. So the Gemara says there's Ataris and Dorman Afrosha's truma. So let's say I was mafresh challah and it fell into, by mistake, it fell into a whole dough. And now I don't know which one is the challah and which one we can't eat. So it says in Yoridei, you should go make a Ataris and Dorman. So the one who has to make the Ataris and Dorman is the one who was mafresh, not the one who now has the bread and he has a problem. How can he be mata neder? He didn't take the neder. The bala neder has to come and be nishal ala neder. What's the discussion in Yeriday is, if I appointed a shliach to be mafresh challah for me, let's say I have a mishareses, and I ask him bake challah and be mafresh challah, so the mishareses did have hafrashes challah on my behalf, and didn't shliachah, so who is the bala neder? He says, shluch shlorim kemoisai, so I'm the bala neder, so the bala basta can be mata the neder, or you say, no, the shliach has to go be nishal to the chacham. So whenever you have hanishal ala neder, the bala neder has to appear in front of the bezman and say, he has to request, he or she have to request the hatoris nadorm. So yesterday we were talking a little bit briefly about yontem sheni shel golus, but it's a minig or it's a real din. So if it's a minig, the observance of yontem sheni, then at ben chutzlar, it goes to visit Eretz Yisrael. There's a machlekes Rabbi Yosef Kara, and the Chacham Tzvi. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael. He writes in the Tshuvas and he writes in the Shulchan Aruch that a ben chutzlo to visit Teretz Yisrael has to, only temporarily, the Daita Lachzer, has to observe Yontem Sheni. And Chacham Tzvi, who never lived in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't see what was going on there, he says it can't be. There's no Yontem Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chorad, that's part of the issue. If it's a minig, then the Shach to say, Nosim Olov, Chumri Amok, Mashiyotzim Isham. He has to observe his minig. But if it's a din, so what do you mean, what's the din? The din is that B'nai Chutz Loretz have to observe Yontem Sheni. No, the din is the Chutz Loretz is a Sveik of the Yoma. And Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sveik of the Yoma. So that's how it started out. So the din is that in Chutz Loretz you observe Yontem Sheni, and Eretz Yisrael you don't observe Yontem Sheni. So then, if it's a real din, it shouldn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. If it's a minig, then you have the din of Nos Malov, Chomri Amokim Sheyotzam Isham. So that is never discussed in the Gemara. What's the only thing discussed in the Gemara is Fakir, when a Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting in Chutz Loretz. So then the Gemara says, that's on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amid Beis, going over to the top of Nun Beis Amid Aleph. That direction is discussed when a Ben Eretz Yisrael visits in Chutz Loretz. So the Gemara has Omale of Safar Le Rababe, one of the Amoroi Nesti Adelis Kigon Anan, the Adina Mikviya, the Archo, Poshe B'Shat means he lives in Eretz Yisrael. How can it be he lives in Rav Safar lived in Bavel. That's what Tosfos says. Rav Safar lived in Bavel. What do you mean he knows Bikviya, the Archo? Meaning he knows when the Moilet is. Everybody knows when the Moilet is. They announce when the Moilet is, and we still observe Yom Tov Sheni. That's what Tosfos says on the bottom of Nun Aleph on the base. So what do you mean Rav Safar says, we know Bikviya the Yarcho, do we still have to observe Yom Tov Sheni? That's the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara says, after they instituted the fixed calendar, the Luach Kavua, so the Shaila was, does it still make sense to observe Yom Tov Sheni? So they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael, they sent back a letter from Eretz Yisrael, he's already meaning they should still observe Yom Tov Sheni. So what is he asking over here? So Tosfos says, no, Anan Yadina Bikvir Diyarcha means I live in a city where we only observe one day Yontif, but he's going to go out of his city, he's going to go to a community where they do observe Yontif Sheni. So what's the din? A Ben Eretz Yisrael, or Rav Safra was not a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So he lived in Bavel somewhere, but they only observe one day Yontif. How could that be? So Tosfos writes over here, like the Rambam, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam says, we call it Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. The Rambam writes that it's not accurate. Let's say the Bez Nagodol was in Yerushalayim. Let's say, for argument's sake, Lemaise, towards the end of the period that they were Mekadosh Al Pi Hariya, the Bez Nagodol was not always in Yerushalayim. 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, the Sanhedrin went into Golis, and then they went to Yavne, and to Usha, and to Shvaram, and to Deria, and Tzipori, different places. In the Galil, there was nowhere near Yerushalayim. There were miles, many hours away from Yerushalayim. So wherever the Bez Nagodol was, so they would send shluchim to notify everybody when Rosh Chodesh is. So the shluchim, they didn't have emails, they didn't have telephones. So the shluchim can only reach such a distance by the time it comes Yontif. So there were areas in Eretz Yisrael where the shluchim lo higiu. There were areas in Chutz Loretz where the shluchim kein higiu. Eretz Yisrael is very skinny. So the areas in Chutz Loretz, the areas in Bavel where the shluchim were higiu, and areas in Eretz Yisrael where the shluchim were lo higiu. So what's the din? So the bottom Tosfos on Nun Aleph Amud Beis writes like the Rambam, that it depends where Yizar b'minig avaseichem b'yadeichem, those areas in Eretz Yisrael where the shluchim lo higiu have to observe Yontav Sheni, even though it's in Eretz Yisrael. And those areas in Chutz Loretz where the shluchim ken higiu do not have to observe Yontav Sheni. And that's what Tosfos says. Rav Safra lived in an area where the shluchim higiu, even though he lived in Bavel. Rav Safra was one of the Amoraim who lived in Bavel. But the shluchim where higiu is Manche Kitcho Peoria. So that area they only observed one day on this. Our minig today is not like that Rambam. Our minig is like the Ritva. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah writes that even though everything is based on Hizar b'minig avasechem b'yadechem, and when Bizman Shekitcho Piyariya and they sent out to Shluchim, you would have to draw a circle with a radius, a distance of how far the Shluchim were Higiu. And there were areas in Eretz Yisrael where the Shluchim lo Higiu and areas in Chutz where the Shluchim ken Higiu. But after they made the Takana that you always have to observe Yom Tov Sheni, then it depends on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Loretz. That's how it says in the Ritva. And that's how it says in the Sefer Kafta Vaferach. He lived in the days, he was one of the Rishonim. They had an aliyah of Baliyah Tosis, went there, it's Israel. So in the Sefer Kafta Beferach, he gives you the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, the minig is not like the Rama. The minig is that in Eretz Yisrael, you never observe Yantav Sheni. In Chutz La'aretz, you always do observe Yantav Sheni. So that's l'maisa the minig now. That they say that Briska Rav used to observe Yantav Sheni and he lived in Me'er Shorim. In Gulula, what do you observe Yantav Sheni? So he says, because the Ramam says, wherever the Shluchim higiyu. So he says, how do I know where the Shluchim went? Maybe they went that way, maybe they went that way, maybe they never went this way. Maybe the Shluchim never went in my direction. Okay, so it's a little humorous. In Bnei Brak, I can understand. Okay, they say the stipler, it looks like the stipler also observed Yantav Sheni. Because whenever they wanted him to write Chidush Torah, he always gave it teretz, why he's not going to do Mavocha on the second day Yantav. So it looks also perhaps that he observed Yantav Sheni. That's further away from Yerushalayim. But in Yerushalayim, to say the Shluchim Lo Higiyu, it's a little exaggerated. But Lamaisa, we don't follow this Taisus in the Ram. So how do you read the whole Gemara? It's a Pella. The simple reading of the Gemara is like Taisus says. The Rav Safra says he lives in a community where they only observe one day Yontif, but then he leaves this community for Yontif, he goes somewhere else. So does he have to observe Yantav Sheni or not? So he says on the top line, Anun Beis Amid Aleph, he says, B'yishuv, if he's in a city where there are other Jews who are observing Yantav Sheni, Lo Yavdina, B'nei Sheni Amach Leikis. I'm not going to do Malacha there, even though I live Kavua in a place where there's only one day Yantav, but I'm visiting here, I have to observe 2 days Yantav. But Bamidbar, if I left my community, I didn't yet arrive in a settlement in the Yishuv Toch HaTchum where the Jews observe Yantav Sheni, so then Yishuv Mai, so he says Bamidbar you're allowed to do Malach. So that's why, let's say, the Jews who leave Eretz Yisrael on Yantav Sheni Shel Golias, by them it's not Yantav, and they arrive in New York in the airport. So the airport is Newark, or the airport in Queens is Chutz LaTchum. There are no religious Jews live there in the neighborhood. It's Chutz LaTchum to walk to the airport. It's very far away. So they can sit and do all the work they want on their computers. They have to wait till Matzah Yantav, and they can come into the Yishuv. But calls man that they're Bamidbar, they're not in the Yishuv, so then they're not Mukhiyev to observe the Yisam Malacha. That's the Gemara, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Here the top tesis is the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens, top tesis on Nun Beis Amid Aleph, that when a Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting a Chutzlar, it's not allowed to do Malacha, even Betzina. Usually the Gemara talks about eating Chalev, that in Eretz Yisrael they used to eat certain chaylev. There was a machloikis in here that's on chaylev dayatra on Nun Aleph and Min Aleph, the last 10 lines. So there was a machloikis about eating certain chaylev. So in Eretz Yisrael they used to eat it, and in Bavel they wouldn't eat it. So when he came to Bavel, he would eat it when nobody was watching. When people were watching, he wouldn't eat it. But what about malacha? So he should be allowed to do malacha bitzina. It won't cause any machloikis. So Taisus writes, and the Mishnah Berurah says that Rov HaPoskim hold like that. That malacha will always be discovered. No such thing as doing malacha betzina. People will always find out that he did a malacha, and it's always going to be gori machlekes. So that's what we assume halacha lemaisa, that you're not allowed to even do malacha betzina when a Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting in Chutz La'aretz.
So the airport is not considered betzina.
The airport is considered by Midbar, it's not by Yishuv. Adain lehigil.
Is that betzina?
No. He's not b'yishuv. When he's b'yishuv, then you're not allowed to do malacha even b'tzina, because malacha will always be b'fahes. But if he's in the midbar, then the Gemara says he's not prohibited from doing malacha. So the airport is like in the midbar.
Does the airport need to be mamish b'chutz l'tchum, or just a place where Jews won't go?
It means the religious Jews will never go there. Usually an airport is chutz l'tchum. There's so much security. In the mountains, I know, near where I go in Tannersville, so there's an airport. You just walk from the highway. You just walk onto the airport. No security, no fences, no garnish. And you can take a plane from there and land in Washington, D.C. I once did it. No security whatsoever. You can land in the capital. You can go just like that. So that's the Gemara. The Balamar quotes this Gemara, and he says that's the din. Balamar just innocent. He's innocent over here. He just quotes the Gemara. So the Ravid has Hasag on the Balamar. So he says, what's he talking about? Who today observes one day Yontif? Bein Boris, Bein Chutzlois, everybody observes 2 days Yantif. That's the Raiva that I mentioned yesterday. The Raiva is on page Yud Zayin and Aleph in these editions of the Gemara. By the letter base. Amar Avram Zayin Oklum. Ein B'chol HaGoyle V'lo B'Eretz Yisrael Mishal Aninik Shnei Yom Tam Shal Golias. Doesn't exist. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody observes 2 days Yantif. He understands that when the Gemara says Yizora b'minig avasechem b'yedechem Eretz Yisrael chutz l'aretz is the same thing. So they made a takana, everybody has to observe 2 days Yantif. There's a thesis in the second parak in Chagiga. Second parak in Chagiga has a lot of agarata. So thesis in the second parak quotes one of the piyutim from Rav Leza HaKalir and discusses that it doesn't correspond to what it says in the Talmud Bavli, it corresponds to what it says in Talmud Yerushalm. Okay. So the Taisa says, who was this of Leza Akalia? The Taisa said, he must have been a Tana. The history books say he lived in the days of the Bali Taisa. So Taisa didn't know who he was. Taisa said, he must have been a Tana because he has no piyutim for Yantav Sheni. He never wrote any piyutim for Yantav Sheni. So maybe he's alive today in Eretz Yisrael. Why does he have to be a Tana? So the Nadi Behuda asked that. No one understands. Nadi Behuda, so the Rashash on that thesis, and the second Baruch Hagiga, Rashash quotes the Nadi Behuda says, we have no piyutim from Rav Lezer HaKali even for the second day Rosh Hashanah. Second day Rosh Hashanah, everybody observes all over the world, even in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Tosfos says. He must have been a Tana. Must have been a Tana. The Rashash, but that's not what Tosfos says. Tosfos doesn't say, we have no piyutim for the second day Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos just says, we have no piyutim. So the Rashash says, maybe Taisus thought like the Ravid, that the even in Eretz Yisrael today, everybody observes 2 days Yantif. But this is a strange Ravid. It's a very unusual Ravid. The Pashtus we assume not so. Here the Gemara on Nunam the base, the Gemara on Nunam, the opening Mishnah talks about Minag HaMokam and not doing Malocha on Erev Pesach after Chatzois. That may be a real din. They don't say whether it's a din deraisa, din derabbanan. That's the Tosfos discuss. Maybe it's a real din deraisa. And then what about abstaining from aloch and erev Pesach in the morning before chatzos? That depends on the minig amokim. Okay. And then the Mishnayos proceed to say maybe even in the morning it's also medina, maybe even the night before, maybe it's also also medina. Okay. So the Gemara says, why did the Mishnah only talk about doing aloch and erev Pesach? What about every erev Shabbos, every erev Yontif? Also, the Gemara says, no, that's only mina mincha. L'mayla, it's not right to do melachas. In the last 2.5 hours of the day, from the Zman Mincha Kitana, not to do melacha. But not to do melacha from Chatzoysa, that's only Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is different. According to Tosa, because it's Zman HaKrovas HaKorban. According to Rashi, because you have to bake the matzahs and you have to burn the chametz, you have to shech the Korban Pesach. People are going to be more busy in Mitzias, that is the fact. People are busier on Erev Pesach than they are on any other Erev Shabbos or any other Erev Yontif. So the Gemara talks about this din, that it's not proper to stay in. A lot of people, when I'm going to shul to the late minyan, so other people are coming home from work. They stay at work, mamish, till the end of the day, even after mincha ktana. So that the Gemara says, that's not right. It's not right to do melacha on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, in mincha ktana, the last 2.5 hours. Of the day. So then the Gemara says there are some lazy bones, they don't go to work on Erev Shabbos, machmer, but they don't go to work all week long. They're just lazy. They're not interested, they're not energetic. So even though they observe the din, shaloi l'shma, they don't do melach on Erev Shabbos, the last 2.5 hours, but they don't go to work all week long. They're just lazy bones. So the Gemara says that that they get reward. So that's called observing a mitzvah shelo l'shma, because they're lazy. So the Gemara says, "Lo'alam yasakana matar mitzvah safli shelo l'shma, shematoch shelo l'shma bal l'shma." That's on Nunam Beis, a famous line. And Tosfos here has the kasha. How can you say that? Here the second Tosfos from the top. The Gemara says there in Brachas that a person who does mitzvahs, learns Torah, shlo l'shma, noach lo ila nepcha sheyosa aponav. It would have been better that he should have died as a fetus. It would have been better for him if he wouldn't have been born into this world. Here the Gemara says, not so bad. A person should always learn Torah, shlo l'shma, b'tach shlo l'shma, b'al l'shma. So the Tosfos has the famous answer that two, Rashi and Tosfos, they always give the same answer. There are two types of Shelo Lishma. Shelo Lishma, he wants to have kavod, they should honor him, that he's a rabbi. He wants to make a parnasa from the rabbin, and so he's learning Torah Shelo Lishma. So that's not so bad. But there's another Shelo Lishma, he's learning Torah in order to show everybody else that they don't know how to learn. He wants to show up all the others. Lekanter. So Lekanter, that's terrible. Lekanter, that's what Tosfos says. The Netziv has a different answer on Tosfos' kasha, which he writes in his Chuvas and he writes in his Biurim. He has it in several of his Svarim. He repeats the same idea. He thinks it depends whether the person is learning the Torah that's already printed or is mechadish something. To learn Vasushtei, Shelo Lishma, Nishgefelach. But to be mechadish, a guy, he sits with his pen and a pad, and it's the first time he's learning a Gemara, he's writing a Sefer. I remember there was one Bach in the Yeshiva, he's writing a Sefer. He didn't even learn the Mesichta yet the first time. He's holding by writing a Sefer. If Min HaShemayim, a Chiddush falls into your head, okay, so it's, maybe it's Kedai to print it. But to learn the Mesichta in order to be Mechadish something, that's not right. So that's what the Netziv says, to be Mechadish a Hanhoge, or to be Mechadish to I want to found a Yeshiva, because I want to be the president of Yeshiva. I want to found a shul. I want to be the rabbi of the shul, or I want to be the president of the shul. And the other shuls don't want me. They don't need me. So that's Shelo Lishma. If there's a need for another yeshiva, there's a need for another shul, so then it's kedai to found another shul. But just because you want a parnasa, or you want to be the president of a new moisad, that's not right. So that's what the Netziv thinks is another answer. And he thinks lahalacha like that. He thinks that the person should not allow to be mechadish Shelo Lishma. In the context of this Gemara, the Gemara talks about the lazy people. Yesh shofal v'niskar. The person is lazy. Yesh zoriz. A guy goes to work all week long, and then he goes to work on Friday afternoon also till the last minute. Yesh zoriz, and he's nifsad. He shouldn't be going to work the last 2.5 hours on Friday, on Erev Yantiv. And yesh shofal, a guy is lazy bones. He never goes to work. The Viniskar, and he gets rewarded for not doing work on Friday afternoon, even though he doesn't do the work, Shelo Lishma. So the Gemara says, yeah. So it's clear from the context of our Gemara that this Membra goes on Shmiras HaMitzvah, Shelo Lishma. The Gemara is talking about not going to work the last 2.5 hours on Friday. The Rambam, they show you in the letter Zion, the Rambam quotes this memory from the Gemara in two places, in Hilchas Talmud Torah and in Hilchas Tshuva. In both places, the Eglei Tal points out in the Hakdama. Both places, the Rambam only quotes it, Li'olam Yasagarim about Torah. He doesn't have Torah mitzvahs. He only quotes it on Torah. And it's clear that he means like that, because the Rambam writes in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Ein Tchilas Dina Shalodam Ela Al Dibre Torah. When a person comes to the Olam HaEmes, you're going to ask him, did you keep mitzvahs? Did you do averis? Did you talk Lashon Hara? What did you do with you? So the first thing they ask you is, Ein tchilas dina shelo adam ela al dibre Torah. That's a Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin.
What's that mean?
When the person's going to, comes to the Olam HaNeshamas, then they're going to judge him. So the first thing they're going to discuss with him will be whether he learned Torah or not. Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha, the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Lamed Aleph, I think the Morning Shabbos says 6 questions that they're going to ask. So the first question is Nasasam Nasata Be'amuna. The second question is Kavayt Itim Latar. But the first question is whether he dealt honesty in business. So it contradicts the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first parak on Daf Zayin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that En Chidus Dina Shaladim Eladivat Torah Shenama Put the Maim Reishis Modon VeMaim Alat Torah. The first question they're going to ask is going to be on learning. So that's
business.
Okay. So there are different answers. There's a famous answer that's printed on the side of the Ein Yankif. They quote which Adam Gadol said it. Different people said it. I remember they attributed it to the Rebbe Rav Shmelke. My father used to have a sefer with Vertlaff on the Rebbe Rav Shmelke, so I had this also. The Gemara there says, V'hoya murisitecha chosin shuas chachmas vadas, yiras Hashem hi oitzorai. So the Gemara says, this pasuk in Yeshaya is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's breaking down the Mishnah into 6 sections. You have Zeroyim, Moed, Noshim, Nezik, and Kachim, Taras. So the Gemara says, Emunas corresponds to Zeroyim. Itecha is Manim. Itecha is Moed. Chosin is Nashim and Yeshuas and Zikin and Kochim and Taras on the next to him. Then it says Yiras Hashem Hi Otzara, the Beis Oitza, to observe, to absorb all of the learning that you shouldn't forget it, has to be Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will enable him to retain all of his knowledge in Torah. So the next memory in the Gemara is, the Gemara has the six questions that they ask on the Yom HaDin. So they say the six questions are whether you Nasasim Nasatet Be'emunah means did you learn Zroim? Emunah. Then it says Kavayte Itim La Torah. Did you learn Moyet? Itim. Then Asakta B'Piri V'Ribit. Did you learn Nashim? It's a piece of the Yeshua. Did you learn Yeshuas? Mamish, one memory after the other. I think it's even the same Andoma who says both. So they say the six questions they ask on the Yom HaDin, all the six questions mean, did you learn Shishu Sidri Mishnah? That's what it means. But the Rishonim didn't understand like that. The Rishonim understood Nasas V'Nasata B'Amunah, did you deal honestly in business? They say the name of Rab Chaim Balozhina. That's a Rab Soloveitchik like this story. I remember he called on a student to read a Tosfos, so the student read, and Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Brachas, Brachas Daf Yedzayin. So he says, did you check the Gemara in Brachas? So the student says, no. So he says, how do you know the Gemara exists? What do you mean? Tosfos quotes it. Maybe it doesn't exist. How do you take Tosfos' word for it? Maybe there's a different gear for it. Maybe a different gear. Maybe Tosfos is pulling the wool over your eyes. He says, you go to university and you didn't even learn anything from university study. That's the first thing you're supposed to learn. Not to take anybody's word for anything. You always have to check everything up. You always have to check it up because a lot of times Tosfos has a different girsa. Well, they have our girsa, but they have the apshat in the Gemara. They're asking Akasha based on their understanding, and Rashi or other Rishonim have a different shot in the Gemara. So it's always important to check everything. So they say... Rav Soloveitchik said this over also, but others say, they say Rav Chaim Balozhina once approached the Talmud in the yeshiva. He was learning a Tosfos. He asked him, did you look up the other Gemara? So he says, no, he took Tosfos' word for it. So he said, if you would be dealing in business, you think you'd take the other guy's word for it? In business, you don't take anybody's word for anything. You have everything written out in the document, black on white. So he said, Rav Chaim Balozhina said, that's the first question they're going to ask on the Yom HaDin is going to be in learning. They're going to ask, when you dealt in business, you took the guy's word for it. Why did you learn such a lazy fashion? You should never take Tyson's word for it. You should always check everything up. That the first question is also in learning. It's bitmiya. In business, you would deal in business like that. How come you learned like that? Taking everybody else's word. You have to check everything up. So this is
Rabbi tells you something. Rabbi tells me something. I know a rabbi a long time. I trust him. He tells me this a lot.
Maybe he's making a mistake. Yeah. If he's quoting something from the Shulchan Aruch, it's always kedai to check it up to see. If a person has the time and the ability to check it up, should always check it up to see. Maybe he's making a mistake. Maybe he's misunderstanding something.
I asked Rabbi Shaila. He told me that's the answer.
Okay. That's what he asked Shaila. Okay. So from the context of our Gemara, is beferish that Yasin Kodem b'mitzvah shalolishma, b'tel shalolishma, b'olishma. We're talking about the mitzvah of not doing work the last 2.5 hours on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, even though yesh shofol v'niskar, the person is a lazy bones and he gets rewarded because he doesn't do malacha. The Gemara is not talking about learning, we're talking about mitzvahs. But the Rambam is clearly applying the memra only to Torah, because the Rambam says, he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin. Ein chinas dilo shalodim el al divrei Torah lefichach sibu chachamim leyolam yasek kodem haTorah shalolishma mitoch shalolishma balishma. That this memra of shalolishma balishma is only regarding learning, because ein chinas dilo shalodim el al divrei Torah. It's very strange. Why did the Rambam link the two together? It's problematic. But the Rambam holds that it's only on Torah, not on mitzvahs. Rav Shach has several volumes. Rav Blazer Shach has a few volumes on the Rambam. So every 75 pages, he has a shtickel Torah from his son-in-law, Rabbi Bergman. So on this Rambam, he quotes a shtickel Torah from his son-in-law. So the problem is a good problem. The kash is good kash. The answer is not so easy to understand. The Egle Tal has a famous comment in his Hakdomah, his sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, the Egle Tal by the Avnei Nezer. So he asks Akasha, how can the Gemara say Le'olam Yasek Kodem b'mitzvah shelo lishma? If a person does a mitzvah shelo lishma, maybe he's not yotzei. If you all mitzvah tzichas kavana, he's not yotzei. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik once commented, he never heard anybody ask that kasha. He must have forgotten that the Egel Eital yesterday, because he knew the Egel Eital. He forgot, he hadn't seen an Egel Eital in many years. He said, he never came across anybody ask that kasha, because that kasha is a mistake. Because mitzvah tzichas kavana means, do you have kavana lotzeis? Let's say, I wake up early in the morning, I come to shul 10 minutes early, I put on talis and tefillin, and I daven in the front, and I say every word and everything. I only do it because I want everybody to be mechabed me. So I'm doing the mitzvahs shelo lishmo. But I have kavana. I know I'm putting on tefillin, I know I'm putting on talis. These are two different things. Lishmo and shelo lishmo means what motivated me to do the mitzvah. Kavana means, do I know that I'm, do I have a mind to be yotzei the mitzvah? Of course I have a mind to be yotzei the mitzvah. But if no one would be there in the base medrash, I would sleep till 11 o'clock in the morning and I would daven at home and I wouldn't daven so well. And I would only I would put on the tefillin 5 minutes instead of wearing the tefillin an hour and a half. I only am so medaktik in the mitzvahs, shelo lishmo, that what motivates me to do the mitzvahs is to get covered, let's say. But I have kavana latzeis. I know that it's a mitzvah. I know I'm having kavana the latzeis. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the whole kasha is nishkin kasha in the first place. You can do the mitzvah shelo lishmo. That's what motivates me. But you still have kavana latzeis. But that's the Egel Eital considers this a kasha. He holds that that's a kasha. There's a machlokes at Tanoim and a machlokes Amoraim and a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you pass a mitzvah tzichas kavana, mitzvah zain tzichas kavana. So how can the Gemara say the olam yasa got him a mitzvah shelo lishmo? So he said, he answered, that's why the Rambam had a different girsa, not b'torah u'me mitzvahs, only b'torah. If you learn Torah shelo lishmo, that's okay. Manish Tana, why is it different? So he says, in the machlokes in the Gemara, where the mitzvah sichas kavana, mitzvah saying sichas kavana, in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third perek, there is a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam matkia shofar, that's what the Ran presented as a contradiction. The Ran and the Rif, then the end of the third perek in Rosh Hashanah, that the Rambam says, kafuhu v'yochal matzah is yotzei. A guy holds a gun to my head and he says, you eat that matzah, I shoot you. And I eat the matzah, I don't have kavana latzeis. I don't have kavan at all. I just don't want him to kill me. So I do whatever he tells me to do. I'll be Mechal Shabbos also. Whatever he tells me is Bikoch Nefesh. I eat the matzah. I don't have kavan a lot. So the Rama Paskins that you yoytze. Kafuhu nochrim. Yochal matzah yoytze. And then the Rambam by Tkir Shofar sounds like he says that you have to have kavan a lot. So isn't it a stira between Tkir Shofar and Achilas matzah? So the Ran answers on the Rambam that Shekein Nehenna is different. Since when you eat the matzah, you get Hanoah, you're not hungry anymore. So whenever you get Hanoah, then the Maisa relates to even without Kavana Lotzes. In Tkir Shofar, you don't get any Hanoah. So there the din is Mitzvah Sichas Kavana. Whenever you get Hanoah, so then the din is Mitzvah Saint Sichas Kavana. That's how the Ran explains the Rambam. Many hold that that's the Pshat in the Rambam, and others say the Rambam never said it. That's an interpretation in the Rambam. So the Egel Eital likes that. And then he says, in learning Torah, people who understand learning always get Hanoah. So therefore, by learning, the Rambam says, Yolam Yasek Ganem HaTorah Shelo Lishmo. Because when you learn, you get Hanoah, so Shekein Nehenna. So there the din is Mitzvah Saint Tzvichas Kavana. So there it doesn't bother me that the person is learning Shelo Lishmo, which he understands Shelo Lishmo means without Kavana Lotzeis. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought the whole Kasha, Hepsel Kanishno, thought the whole Kasha was a mistake.
Isn't
that Shemekah?
I know, but
they don't
have to have Kavana.
Right, so Batkiya Shofar, the Rambam says you have to have Kavana. Batkiya Shofar, so that's because Mitzvah Sirch is Kavana. Because Mitzvah Sirch is Kavana.
But even if it wouldn't be, he's not doing the Mitzvah, he's a
Shemekah. Right, that's what the Balamor says like that, and others say that that's the Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam Paskin Mitzvah ain't Sirch is Kavana. But Shemekah Kaina needs Kavana. He says Kiddush. He's blowing shofar, it should be late to me. That's only if I have kavana lots. If I don't have kavana lots, it's not. But if I myself am blowing the shofar, even without kavana lots, I would be yotzei, right? That's an alternate pshat in the Rambam. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, his grandfather, Rav Chaim, learned pshat in the Rambam like that. That the Rambam didn't distinguish between the mitzvah of matzah because kenen and the mitzvah of shofar because noah, but rather between shemei koina. Mitzvahs are never tzvichas kavana, but shemei koina, his reciting of Kiddush, his blowing of the shofar only relates to me if I have kavana. That's an alternate reading in the Rambam. So this is a famous interpretation of the Egel Eital and the Hakdamah to his Sefer. He says that the Rambam gives to us the other Maaseh Kohen Batorah, not the mitzvahs. That's clear in the Rambam. And the Rambam gave the reason why. The Rambam doesn't give the reason the Eglay tells us. The Rambam gives the reason why, because Ein Chinas Diyal Shalodim Ela Adi Batorah, Lefich Hatzivu Chachamim, the other Maaseh Kohen Batorah, Shalod Lashma Mitor Shalod Lashma Bo Lashma. He doesn't give the explanation. The Eglay Tal is given his own explanation. The whole Kasha the Eglay Tal asked is problematic, and the explanation he said doesn't correspond to what the Rambam says. What the Rambam says, we don't understand either. What's the link between the two? That Ein Tchilas Dina Shalod Mela Dibet Torah, therefore you should learn Torah Shalod Lashma. Problematic.
That's really interesting, because it's not really doing anything. It's a passive mitzvah.
Yeah.
He's not working.
Not working yet. I mean, he's not violating an issa. Not violating an issa. It's not the mitzvah sichas kavana, and that's when you do a mitzvah sese, you need kavana. To abstain from doing a lo sese, as long as you don't do the lo sese. What do you mean? Lishmo, shalom lishmo. That's a strong hair. Yeah, but that's in the Gemara. The Gemara says that. He said, not violating the iser, shalom lishmo. Because he's lazy. Yeah. And that Gemara that we mentioned before, the top line on Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that when the Ben Eretz Yisrael comes to Chutz Loretz, says as long as he's still in the Midbar, as long as he's not Tocha Yishuv, he doesn't have to observe Yantav Sheni. Only when he comes Tocha Yishuv, then he has to observe Yantav Sheni. So this, the Rogatchover, you quoted this Gemara to interpret a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara has a machlokes and Maseches Sukkah regarding yeshiva b'sukkah. How often do you say a bracha? That's it. The mitzvah to sit in sukkah is 7 days solid. You sit in sukkah all the time. So what if a person said a bracha the first night of sukkahs and he sleeps in the sukkah, then in the morning he goes to shul, he damas shachlis and musaf, he comes back to the sukkah and he says kiddush, does he say again a bracha leishe basukkah? So the Gemara has a machleikah. So one opinion is no, it's one mitzvah that extends for 7 days. Why should he say a bracha every time he makes a hesach hadas? Every time he has a major hapsok, why should he say another bracha? It's all a hemshech of one mitzvah. And our practice is not so. We pass on like the other opinion. The Gemara says, tefillin calls mancha minichem v'varach aleim. Machlek is in the Gemara. So we pass on like Rebbe, that if you wore tefillin v'shachris, then you put on tefillin again to mincha, whatever, later in the day. Every time you put on tefillin, you say another bracha, so we do the same by the yeshiva b'sukkah. So the Gemara wants to show that is the din, that every time you sit in sukkah, you say another bracha. So the Gemara says, the Gemara also has a machlokes, whether you say a bracha leishe basukkah in chutz loretz on shmini atzeres. There are three different opinions. Whether you don't sit in sukkah at all on shmini atzeres, or you sit in sukkah with a bracha, or the final conclusion of the Gemara is meisav yasvina bruchah lo mevarchina. You sit in sukkah on shmini atzeres, you don't say a bracha. So the Gemara quotes all the three opinions. So the Gemara quotes the two issues. One issue, do you say a bracha every time you sit in sukkah, or do you say a bracha the first day, and it covers the whole time. And then there's another machlokes, what do you do, yantam sheni shel galus of sukkahs, do you sit in sukkah and shmini atzeres with a bracha, do you sit in sukkah without a bracha, you don't sit in sukkah. Three different shittas in the Gemara, and the psak is the middle shita. You sit in sukkah, you don't say a bracha. So the Gemara says, toshma, there was a group of Amoraim who sat in sukkah and shmini atzeres, and they said a bracha. So it indicates they took a stand on both shilas. Took a stand that they hold you say a bracha and shmini atzeres, number one, which we don't do, we don't pass like them. And number two, you see that they say they sat in sukkah on the first day sukkah. So what are they saying a bracha? Obviously they said a bracha every day. So it's a raya, push it to both shilas. You see, so one thing that they... One thing that they did, we don't follow. We don't say a bracha on shmini atzeres. And the other thing that their shita, we do follow. Every time you wait out of the sukkah for a significant amount of time, come back. Person goes to the house to take some food into the sukkah, he doesn't say another bracha. But if he leaves the sukkah for a couple of hours and he comes back, we do say a bracha. So the Gemara says, maybe it's not so. The Gemara says, maybe you can't be poshut the other shayla. You see that they held you say a bracha on shmini atzeres. That's beferish. But you can't prove that they hold Yisrael Bracha every time, because Gmiri, we have a tradition, a historical tradition, that story was the Me'efer Ko'osu. All of these Amaroim that they told us the story that they sat in Sukkah and Shemana Tzeres and said a bracha, they weren't home for Sukkahs. They were grazing the animals, so Rashi learns, and they didn't sit in Sukkah at all. This was the first time they got to sit in Sukkah, was in Shemana Atzeres. The first 7 days of Sukkahs, they didn't sit in Sukkah at all. So this is the first time they sat in Sukkah this year, so of course you say bracha, Leisha Basukkah. But if they would have sat in Sukkah the earlier days of Sukkahs, maybe they wouldn't say bracha again. Maybe they wouldn't repeat a bracha, because all one mitzvah. So it's a pella. What do you mean? All prominent Amoraim, they were so involved in grazing their animals, they didn't sit in Sukkah for all 7 days. Gemiri dime'efer ka'osu. So Gemara, the end of Sukkah. Gemiri dime'efer ka'osu. Rashi says they didn't sit in Sukkah the whole Sukkah. A pella dikazach. So the Ragachava has a different interpretation. So he says, no, these Amoraim lived in a community like Rav Safra, like the story here in the Nalachon days. They lived in a community, but they only observe one day on Tif, because it's Mokim Shemagim, the Shluchim were Magim. But they left their community. So they were Bamidbar the whole time. The Gemara said, Gemir, the Me'ef, because they had a Sukkah there. But they don't have to observe Yantav Sheni. Where they were Bamidbar, they weren't B'Yishuv, so they don't have to observe Yantav Sheni. So when they, let's say there would be a Sukkah in Kennedy Airport, and a Jew comes from Eretz Yisrael. The Jew comes from Eretz Yisrael, he sat in Sukkahs on the first day Sukkahs. So he says the Bracha Leisha Basukkah. Where he is in Eretz Yisrael, they only observe Sukkahs 7 days. He's not going to sit in Sukkah. No one sits in Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. But he said a Bracha Leisha Basukkah that goes on all 7 days. Then he comes to Kennedy Airport, and he's sitting in a sukkah. Let's say there's a sukkah in the airport. That's Bamidbar. That's not Bayishuv. So far, the bracha he said, Leisha Basukkah in Eretz Yisrael, the bracha he said, Leisha Basukkah here in Kennedy Airport, was only for the 7 days of Sukkahs. He's not yet mechuyev to observe 8 days. So then let's say he sits in the airport all 7 days. Let's say a funny hechet timtza. He comes from Eretz Yisrael on Erev Sukkahs, and there's a sukkah in the airport. Chutz, it's Bamidbar. It's not by Yishuv. So he says a bracha leisha basukkah there the first day. So the bracha only goes on 7 days. From the perspective of the Midbar, like in Eretz Yisrael, there is no yeshiva basukkah on Shemini Atzeres. And then, when it comes Shemini Atzeres, he goes into town. On Hoshana Rabbah, he goes into the city, and now he has to observe Shemini Atzeres. So then if he'll sit in Sukkah Shemini Atzeres, if you hold, you say a bracha, now he has to say a bracha. Because the bracha that he said, Leisha Basukkah before, never covered Shemini Atzeres, because he wasn't obligated to observe Shemini Atzeres. So that's what the Ragachavra interprets. When the Gemara says there, maybe they said a bracha on Shemini, they hold, he said a bracha on Shemini Atzeres. Okay, we don't pass like that. But you can't prove from that incident that they hold, that's like Tefillin calls Matcha Menichem, Mevarach Aleim. And Sukkah, if he made a long Hesach Hadas, he said another bracha leisha basukkah. He can't prove that they hold like that. But didn't they sit in Sukkah before the earlier days of Yontif? Why did they say a bracha now? The answer is no. They sat in Sukkah, but Efer, that's Bamidbar, chutz l'tchum hayishuv. So where they said the bracha leisha basukkah, there wasn't going to be any eighth day of Sukkahs. So their bracha only covered the first 7 days. And after they come into the yishuv for Shemini Atzeres, that's why they said a bracha. But if they would have been in the yishuv from the beginning and they said Leisha Basukkah the first day, maybe it would cover even Shemini Atzeres. So the Ragachavra interprets that Gemara Sukkah. He softens it. The way Rashi learns the Gemara is so strange. What do you mean? All the Amoraim, they weren't in Sukkah. They were so busy grazing the animals. They didn't sit in Sukkah all the 7 days. So he says, no, they were sitting in Sukkah. But Bamidbar. So there was no, from their perspective, there was no, it wasn't going to be any Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. The Gemara tells the story on Nun Beis Amir Aleph, they're talking about Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. The Gemara says one of the, some person did Malach on Yantav Sheni, so the Gemara says we have to punish him. So Shamte Rab Yosef, on the fifth line from the top, sixth line from the top, Shamte Rab Yosef put him in Cherem. So the Gemara says, what are you supposed to do? You put a person in Cherem, or do you give Makas Mardis, which is preferable? So the Gemara says, "Bimarava." This is a famous line. It appears in my Kotna. It says, "Yutzai." Bimarava in Eretz Yisrael, when a Talmid Chacham would do an Avera for which he deserved the Cheirim, so rather than put him a Cheirim, they would give him Makas Mardis. B'marova mimnu adegida de bar beirav. Bar beirav means a Yeshiva Bacher. Mimnu means they would, the Bezdin would vote. The Bezdin would take, Nimnu v'gomru. They would take a vote to give Makas Mardis to a Talmid Chacham, v'lo mimnu ashamta, rather than put him in Cheirim. Because a bizayin atera, that's what Rashi says, it would be too much of a bizayin atera to put in cherem a Talmid Chacham who did something wrong. So I give him malchus, and that's better. So the Netziv has in his commentary on the Shiltas, he has a suggestion. The Pasha Pshat Nanimar is absolutely not the way he says. He has a suggestion. He says b'marava means in Eretz Yisrael where they are able to give smicha. In Babel there's no smicha. The Gemara says you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And the smicha that we have today, it says in Yeridei, that's only imitation smicha. That's what the Rama quotes the Abar Banel. I think it's the only place that he ever quotes Abar Banel, Hilchas Talmud Torah, that the smicha that we have today is not bona fide smicha, because you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So the Netziv says, B'marova in Eretz Yisrael, they have real smicha. So if you curse a person who has smicha, you're in violation of Elikim Loise Kalil, Menase B'yamcha Losa Or. Elikim Losa Kalil has two levels of interpretation, and the Rambam counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvah. One is Elikim Loshem Kodesh HaMegadef Es Hashem, and the punishment is Misa. Megadef is Chai Misa. And then Elohim Loshem Chol Nikar Balbais El Elohim is Loshem Chol. It means Dayanim Smuchim. So Elohim Losa Kalil means you're not allowed to Mekal Dayan. HaMekal Dayan is Loike. So when you put a person in Cherem, what is a Cherem all about? A Cherem is a curse. The guy should drop dead. The Gemara says Cherem is Oisius Ramach Ches Reish Mem. Oisius Ramach, a curse that should be nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim, that the person should die. And then when the Bezdin decides to be mata the Cherem, that's like a Tchias HaMesim. When a person is put in Cherem and he dies, so it says the children don't observe Avelis. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the children don't observe. The Mechaber quotes it from the Mordechai. Why? Because we treat it like Haruge Bezdin. Just like if Bezdin puts a person to death, and the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the relatives are not allowed to observe Avelis, because the Pasuk says, Bavod Rishoyim Rina, you're supposed to celebrate when the Rishoyim die. So if he was put to death as a Mises Bezdin, you're not allowed to observe Avelis to show that you feel bad that he died. So the Mordechai says the same is true regarding Echere, Mishameis Bin Iduyo. It says in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, Mishameis Bin Iduyo, Bezdin Soklem Esarono. The Gemara says it does mean they put a big pile of stones, like Gigala Shal Ochon in Sefer Yeshua, that when they buried him, they put a big pile of stones. So Soklem Esarono does mean Gigala Shal Ochon, means you put a big slab of stone on top of his coffin or on top of his kever. For what purpose? So the Mordechai says to demonstrate that he really deserved Skila. And we attribute his death, let's say the Bezdin put some in a cherem, and now he's 60 years old, and he dies at the age of 85, dies 25 years later, at the age of 85. So we attribute his death, he died from old age, Alpi Pashta, we attribute his death to the curse of the Bezdin, and we treat him as if he's Haruge Bezdin. So the children are not allowed to observe Aveva. So when you put a person in a cherem, in effect you're cursing him. That's what the Rishonim says. So how do you have a right to curse anybody? You're not allowed to curse anyone. So the Rishonim Tosfos answers. The Gemara says in the Perek HaZohov that sometimes a person backs out from a business deal so the Bezdin curses him. Misha Para, the Rabbanu Shlom who punished the Dora Mabul and the Dora Floga should punish you because you ain't Oimed B'dibur. They punished the Mitzrayim and punished all the Rishonim and Tanakh. Should punish you also. So Tosfos says, how can you curse a person? There's a lav. Losa Kal Cheres Tos says no. Nasi biyamcha losa, only boisa maisa amcha. You're not allowed to curse a nasi. Nasi means the melech, and possibly the Rosh HaSanhedrin also. So nasi biyamcha losa is only boisa maisa amcha. If the fellow doesn't have era, so there's no issa to curse him. So Tos says every time you put a person in cherem, basically you're cursing him. So that's a special heter. It's ain't oisa maisa amcha. So then it Tziv claims, but if the person that did the Avera is b'marava, tzur from Rabbanan in Eretz Yisrael, and he has real bona fide smicha, so if he cursed me, he's going to be in violation of a double isa, the lava of lesikal cherish, and mikal lodem yisol, then in addition to that lava, also the lava of Elohim lesikalel, as referring to the dayan. So the Netziv thinks when he have a heter to be mekalo odom Yisrael because he's a balavera, the heter only is mate one avera, it's not mate two averas. Like the Gemara has it in, is the son, let's say the son is always the shliach bezin to give malchus, the son is always the shliach bezin, that's what he does for a living, to proclaim the klolus. Whenever bezin has to put someone in a cherem, so his job he always proclaims. So what if it's his father? What if his father deserves malchus? Is he allowed to give the malchus to his own father? What if it's his father deserves to be in cherem? Is he allowed to put his own father in need of cherem, curse his father? The Gemara says no, that there's an additional lav. Mekala lo demi saw is one lav, and then the Rambam says less at kal cherish. The Rambam says that pasuk also counts twice. Mekala ovi v'imoi gets nisa, mekala lo demi saw gets malchus. So the Rambam counts the lav less kal cherish twice. From Mekala lo v'imoi, from Mekala lo demi Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the son may not act as the shliach bezin to give malchus to his own father or to curse his own father to put in cherem, because by his own father there's a double lav. And the heter for the shlech, that's only to violate one law. So that's what the Nitziv interprets in our Gemara also. B'marov and Eretz Yisrael, when they give real smicha, in Bavel they didn't have real smicha, so they can put the guy in cherem. There's no additional law, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's an additional law. There are two problems with this. It's a snazzy pshat, but the Nitziv says the two problems are, number one, the Gemara is talking about a bar be'rav. Bar be'rav means a Talmud in Yeshiva. It doesn't mean he's a rabbi, he has smicha. And secondly, the Gemara is talking that we in Bavel should do the same as in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean in Bavel do the same? He just said Eretz Yisrael is different because of the fact that they have real smicha, and in Bavel there was no real smicha. So what does the Gemara say? We should do the same as in Eretz Yisrael. It was totally different. It's a vertel, it's a pshetel what he said, but it doesn't seem to be correct. The Pashta says it doesn't really fit in the Gemara. The Mishnah, the whole theme of the Perek is that one is obligated to observe the Minik HaMochem. But sometimes we know that there's a Minik Shtus, so you're not supposed to observe it. So the Mishnah has that. Okay, the Mishnah has Nun Hayamid Beis, the bottom. The two Mishnah, so this, the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Daf, there are six practices that they had in Yericho different from the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Al Shlosha Michu Biyodam, Al Shlosha Lo Michu Biyodam. And the Chachamim were opposed to all six. And the three of them, they protested, they screamed. The other three, they were opposed, but they didn't protest. So you see from the Mishnais. The Mishnais are saying that there's such a thing as a Minik Shtus. You're not supposed to always follow the Minik. That's famous from the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam has a tshuva which is printed on the bottom of the Mordechai in Gittin. Bottom of the Mordechai, they have a tshuva, Rabbi Natam. So he starts off the tshuva that the word Minik, Mem Nun Hei Gimel, is the same as he says Gehenim. Sometimes a person observes a minig and he goes straight to Gehenim because it's a minig shtus. It's a stupid minig. And then this Rabbi Natam is quoted on the first daf in Baba Basra. The opening Mishnah says, you have neighbors and they decide they want to build a wall. In between, so how thick does the wall? And they obligated themselves to build a wall. How thick does the wall have to be? So it says in the Mishnah, it depends what kind of material they plan to make the wall from. If it's this material, it should be so thick, that material is so thin. And so on. Then it says, then it has four different kinds of material. Half bricks, full bricks, stones, whatever. Then it says, I call Kamina Kamdina. Whatever material you're going to use, Kamina Kamdina. So Taisa says, Takasha, once you're going to have to say, end off, I call Kamina Kamdina. So what do you have to waste time to say? If it's this material, it should be six tvachim thick. If that material is three tvachim thick, and this material is this, just say, the thickness of the wall is, I call Kamina Kamdina. So Taisa says, no. The Mishnah means to say that if the minik hamdina is that you make it 10 tefachim thick and it's bricks, that's a minik shtus, and you should not follow that. Mikan yesh lilmod, from this opening Mishnah Babasa, we can derive that there is some minhagim that you're not supposed to follow because the minik shtus, that's the gist of this Mishnah. That's the bottom Mishnah, nun heim beis. That's the Anshi Richo had practices which the Rabbanim were opposed to, and you're not supposed to always follow all of them in Hagi HaMokim. So because the Mishnah listed off six things that the Anshei Richa did, and the Chachamim didn't like all six, but on three of them they were Michu B'yodam, the other three they were Loi Michu, so the Gemara continues Tan Rabbanan on the top of Nun Vav and Aleph, Shishadar Masa Chizkiyo HaMelech, has nothing to do with the six things of Yericho, but it's a little bit similar, Shlosha Hodolo, Shlosha Hodolo. Three the Chachamim approved, and three they didn't approve. Yeah, one of them has to do with this week's Parshas HaShavua. Parshas HaShavua tells about the Nechash HaNechoshes, that the Bnei Yisrael were being bitten by snakes. And you have to do something. So rather than apply some medication, so the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu to make a Nechash V'simoso al Neis, V'yo kol HaNochu, kol HaNochu, whoever will be bitten, V'hipit el Nechash HaNechoshes V'choy. If he looks at the Nechash HaNechoshes, he'll get better. So over the years, the Nechash HaNechoshes was being deified from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar to the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. That was a few hundred years. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was towards the end of the Bais Rishon period. That was quite a long period of time. So by the time Chizkiyahu was around, the people were deifying the Nechash HaNechoshes. They were praying to it or something. So the Gemara says, Kites Nechash HaNechoshes. He destroyed it. It wasn't Hegdish. It's not a lot of violating. He destroyed the Chash and Chashid. The Chachamim were very happy because in his generation, because it was making a kilkel, the people were deifying it, and they were praying to the Chash and Chashid. What's another thing he did? His father was a Melech Rasha. He was a Tzadik Chizkiyahu Melech. His father was a Rasha, so he wanted his father to gain a kapara. So the Gemara says when a person dies and he suffers bizyonis after he dies, that's also mechaper. So he was mevaza his father. Girer at masaviv al mita shel chavolim. He was mevaza his father. He schlepped, instead of burying the body in a kavadiga fashion, he had them schlep the body on the ground. Al mita shel chavolim. On cord, on ropes, on a net. Schlep his body on a net. So Rashi and Sanhedrin, this Gemara appears also Sanhedrin mem zayinim and aleph. So Rashi and Sanhedrin raises the two questions. He violated Kibbut Aviyem and he violated Kvod HaMelech. What happened? There are two violations. His father was a Melech. So Rashi answers, both of them don't apply because he was a Rasha. Because the Pasuk says, Nasa b'yamcha lo sa b'yisa ma'isa amcha, that goes on cursing people. Lo sa or, not allowed to curse the Nasi. And the Gemara understands that b'yisa ma'isa amcha doesn't only go on Nasi, it goes on b'yisa kal cherish also. The law of not cursing a Jew doesn't apply whenever the fellow is Ainoisa Maisamcha. That was Tosis' answer. How are we ever allowed to put anybody in Cherem? Cherem means a curse that he should die. How can you give a person a curse that he should die? It's an aver to curse another Jew. Let's call Cherem. Tosis says Ainoisa Maisamcha because he's doing an aver. So we assume that this Ainoisa Maisamcha explains why there's no Isser of being Bevazad. There's no Din of Kibbut Aviyem. All the mitzvahs of kavod benad machavera, not to curse him, to deal nicely with a parent, with a melech, everything is lifted when he's a rasha. The problem is, the kasha is, what do you mean? There's no din of kvod ha-melech if he's a rasha. The Rambam writes about kvod ha-melech. He says that Eliyahu HaNavi was running in front of Achav. Achav was an oivid avod hazorah. He was terrible. And it says, Vayishanis es mosnov. Eliyahu HaMelech was, the Rambam says, when you have a Novi and a Melech, the Novi has to be mechabed the Melech in public. Privately, the Melech should be Mechabed the Navi, and in public, the Navi has to be Mechabed the Melech. And he quotes, Eliyahu HaNavi is running in front of Achav, Vayishanis says Moslem. Achav was absolutely a Rosh. So how can you say, how can Rashi say that there's no din of Kvod HaMelech when he's a Rosha? And also Rashi said there's no din of Kibbut Aviyem because the father was a Rosha. The Rambam has a famous machloikis with the tour. The Rambam writes that the din of Kibbut Aviyem in Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam writes Kibbut Aviyem applies even Aviv Rosha. How does the Rambam know that it even applies Aviv Rosha? So the Yor Sameach on that Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim quotes a mocker from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perik Ben Zora Mora. The Gemara says there that, let's say, the father and the mother, it's a chai b'krisis. That's a The child is a mamzer. The father was living with his sister, and they had a mamzer. So the din of Ben Saramara applies even in such a case. The Gemara has like that. What do you mean? The father's living with an Eshes Ish, or the father's living with his sister. So the father's the Harasha. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, the whole din of Ben Saramara, Lachar, is based on Kibbut Aviyem. No? If there's no din of Kibbut Aviyem to Aviv Rosha, yeah, so Lechore, if you're not Mechuyim in Kibbut Aviyem to Aviv Rosha, so what does Gemara talk about Ben Sora and Mara, where the father's living with Haneshes Ish, or the father's living with his sister? So the Osamech says, the Rama got it from that Gemara, the Pasha B'Shat and the Gemara, that it's a din of Kibbut Aviyem, even Aviv Rosha. So how do you deal with this Chizkiyah HaMelech was Giru Atz Mesovim Al Mitar Shel Chavolim. His father was his father. So the Maharsham has a Sefer Das Torah, Oras on Yeridei, Mar Mekaymus. He was a fantastic boxer. So he always shakes out Mar Mekaymus from Gemaras and Rishainim and Achrainim. Tremendous Bekiyas. So at the end of the Sefer Das Torah on Yeridei, he has a Pesachuntris from his brother. The brother apparently also a big boxer. So the brother quotes an Afana Yerushalmi, I think it's a Megillah somewhere. An Afana Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi distinguishes between Melech Rosha Bechayim Melech HaMoisai, that Eliyahu Novi was Mechabed Achav while Achav was alive. But Elach HaMoisai here, the father died. Chizkiyah Melech, his father was the Melech also, his father is no longer alive. The Kozman, the Melech is alive, then there is a din of Chiyav Kovid, even though he's a Rosha. After he dies, then Rashi says that there's no chiyuv kavod. It is not because Kozman is alive, you're afraid he may punish you. There may be repercussions. No. The Pashtus, I don't remember if he gives the Hezber, but it could be that the Hezber is the following. Kozman is alive, so then there's Shibud to be Mechabed the Melech, and the same answer by Kibbut Aviyem. The Masham's brother quotes a Yerushalmi by Kvod HaMelech. He doesn't quote by Kibbut Aviyem, but the Chorik should be the same answer. The same thing, that Kozman the Melech is alive, and Kozman the parents are alive, the Chiyuv Kovid is a Shibud bin Adam HaChavera. So it doesn't matter whether he's a Rosh or Nishken Rosh. Yemeshuvah, he's the Melech, you got to show him Kovid. He's the parent, you got to give Kovid, even though he's a Rosh. But Lachamisa, there are no Shibudim to a Meis. You can't say Lachamisa, Kibbut Aviyem is noig Lachamisa also, Mechabda Lachamas, but you can't say Lachamisa that it's a Shibud bin Adam HaChavera. He's not alive anymore. So then it's only an inyan of bin Adam Lamakim. That Shlosh is Shut from Yesh Ba'adam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shutuf with the parents. So being Mechabed the parents is an indirect way to show Kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if the father was a Rasha, so then what do you mean? Showing Kavod to the Rasha is an indirect way to show Kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's done, but they are not. So the same thing by the Melech, it could be. That showing Kavod to the Melech, Lach HaMoseh, is no longer bin Adam Lachaber, it's only bin Adam Lamakim. And if he's a Rasha, then you can't say that you have the mitzvah bin Adam Lamok. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't feel honored by my showing Kovid to a Melech Rasha.
Isn't there a difference between somebody's a Rasha or
they did an Avera?
I mean, they're talking about, in this case...
How serious a Bal Avera does he have to be that he should be called Ein Oisa Mai Samcha just because the guy spoke Lashon Hara? Some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara, yeah.
The Talmud did something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You put him in cherem, he did something wrong, but that doesn't make him that he deserves to be put in the cherem.
Tosis says it on the guy who backed out from a business deal. They made a Kenyan Morris and he backs out, give him Mishapara. So Tosis says, I know he's a Maisamcha. We curse him with respect to this Avera. He said, you did this Avera, so we curse you. Yeah, it is startling. How much, let's say there's no Avelis. If a person dies, I know he's a Maisa Amcha. So the whole union of Avelis is Kovar Ameis. And if he's a big Baal Avera, there's no Avelis. So the question, how big? You mean he spoke Lashon Hara? He wasn't careful about all the mitzvahs. So how serious an Avera does he have to do that it should be called I know he's a Maisa Amcha? So that's a discussion in the Poskim. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes some who say, has to be Dafka Muma Dina Kakum. Only if his mamish so serious an avera that is dina kakum. That means he violates rov dini hatorah. He violates mechal shabbos b'chesia. Rov rabbi is otherwise not going to be muma dina kakum. Others say if he violates chavi krisis, he's called heino isa mai samcha. And others say not only that. Let's say he's a professional ganav. During his lifetime, that's what he did for a living. He was a ganav. So that's also considered Eino Isa Maisa Amcha. There's a stir in Shulchan Aruch. How are you supposed to paskin by whether there's Avelus or not? If a person was a Baal Aver, he did Averus during his lifetime. But it wasn't really Muma Dina Kakum. It wasn't that far. He did a lot of Averus. So the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. He wants to be Miashev. He says he thinks it depends whether the person suffered at the end before he died. He thinks if he died suddenly, didn't have a chance to be Mahara B'tshuva, then it's Takei Eino Isa Maisa Amcha. The guy was a ganav. That's a professional ganav. So Eino Isa Maisa Amcha, so there's no Avelus. But if he suffered towards the end of his life, so we have the right to assume that he probably was Mahara B'tshuva, and he's not called Eino Isa Maisa Amcha. He should observe Avelus. But let's say he says he was an apikoris. He lived at the time of the reform movement. He says an apikoris. He's not going to do tshuva even if he's sick at the end of his life. You have no right to assume that he's doing tshuva. If he was a ganef, then you have a right to assume. Yeah, here the Gemara talks about one of the six things that Anshei Richa did was Hayikorchin es hashma. What exactly does that mean, Hayikorchin es hashma? So the Gemara has one suggestion. When they said Shema Yisrael, they didn't say Baruch Shem Kolei Malchus Eliyahu Avoid, because it doesn't appear in Chumash. And Parshas Vayeshanan doesn't say Baruch Shem. So where do we get it from? So the Gemara says that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he asked for the Agir Lechem, this the famous Agarata, Nun Vav Amir Aleph, and the Rambam quotes this Agarata. Usually the Rambam doesn't quote Agarata, but the Rambam does quote this one. And Hilchos Kriya Shema, when Yaakov Avinu was about to die, so he tells the children, he asked for the Agir Lechem, Shikir Eschem, the Achris Hayami. He wants to tell him when it's going to be, Bikish Yanka, Begalus Labanab, Ketz Hayami. He wanted to tell him when Mashiach is going to come. This Talkan and Menor Shechina. Why did the Shechina go away from him? So the Gemara says, because to know when Mashiach is going to come is one of the things that the Ribbono Shalom doesn't want people to know. Where's that Gemara? Here, Shiva Dvarim, here the top line on Nun Dalin on the base. The Gemara quotes on the Chilta. Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Ibn Yodim. There's seven things that they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know when you're going to die. They don't want you to know when Yom HaNechama, when is going to be Malchus Beis David, Masai Tachzer. When is the Melech HaMashiach going to come? In Hashemayim, they don't want. So Yaakov Avinu didn't realize that. He didn't realize that they don't want us to know. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to know. So Bikir Yaakov Elegalas Saketz, as he says, Yosva, Gid Lechem Esa Shikir Eschem, Barachos Hayam, and the Stalka Meneshchina, because it's not right to tell people. So he didn't understand, Yaakov didn't understand why. So he thought maybe, Emigalan Elelitz Nuin. So maybe because his children are Avrayonim, maybe they don't deserve to hear this important information. So he thought maybe they're Bali Avera. Which Avera could they possibly be violating? So how many Averas did they have? They had the Sheven Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and they had Bris Milah. He gave them all a Bris Milah. And they're not supposed to intermarry. They were told not to intermarry. So he knew all of his children were married to Jewish girls. They were Megayer. So what more mitzvahs did they have? And they were all Zionistic. They all had you shouldn't intermarry, and you should Eretz Yisrael should be national, the national homeland of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael. So the only thing he wasn't sure of, maybe they don't have emunah. So he said, Shema yesh b'neichem psul. Maybe someone doesn't have emunah in their Baruch Shalom. Shema yesh b'mitas psul. So they all said, Dad, Shema Yisrael, his father named Yisrael. Shema Ken, Shema Chod. We all believe in the same Amunah that you believe. So he was so excited, they're 100% religious Jews. It was Kodesh Matan Torah. So they don't yet have Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. So he's jumping from joy, he's clapping his hands. He said, Baruch Shem Kvam Chus Na'avad, blessed be the Lord, that my children are 100%. By the time Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a whole package of 613 mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to jump from joy when you're going to say Shema Yisrael Shem Echad. We believe in monotheism. And what about Shabbos? And what about Kashas? What about Taras HaMishpacha? And what about everything else? In the days of Yaakov Avinu, this 100% Yiddish guy, the Sheva Mitzvahs v'Noyach, with another couple of mitzvahs and Shine, he observed. That's how the Nesivis explained in the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov. They says that Yaakov Avinu was jumping from joy when he heard the children believe in monotheism, Hashem Echad. Because that shows that they're 100%. Everything else he knew. He knew they had a Bris Milah. He knew they wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. He knew they were married to Jewish girls. There wasn't a intermarriage. The only thing he didn't know was Lias L'chol Elikim. He didn't know whether they have Emunah. So they said, we have Emunah. So it's 100%. I don't think I'll be able to say a Shir tomorrow. Today will be the last Shir. I have to get ready for my trip. Okay. Have a pleasant summer.
So you said that others kept all the mitzvahs?
They volunteered to keep all the mitzvahs. They volunteered as an enem mitzvah. Yes, that's a discussion. The Ramban assumes that the Shvatim also volunteered to observe the mitzvahs, and the Ramon and the Tshuvas is not so convinced. Maybe the Shvatim did not volunteer, but they certainly were not mechuyev to. But these four tzivuim, they were mechuyev to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to the Tavrom, and he said he's giving him lias l'chol alakim. He's giving a Bris Milah, package deal with Eretz. He's giving a Bris Milah. Elias l'chol alakim, he should have a Munah. Elazach acharecha, The Gemara says the linsav amar yasa haram yasa. They shouldn't intermarry, because if they're going to marry anachris, then the children won't be misyachas akra. The children will be going. So these four mitzvahs were given to them: Eretz Yisrael, Bris Mila, and Emuna, and not to intermarry. So that's why Yaakov Avinu got all excited. So the Nesiva says, but when Moshe Rabbeinu was told the whole Chumash, so the Baruch Shalom isn't going to put in Baruch Shem Kvam Chus Havod, he's not going to jump from joy after Matan Torah that the Jews have Emuna and monotheism. There's much more. He said, I'm a Jew at heart, I believe in one God. That's Kodim Matan Torah, that was a big thing. Lach Matan Torah, there are many more mitzvahs that you have to observe. So the Nesiva says, but maybe that's the reason why we have a minig that on Yom Kippur, when we say Shema Yisrael, we scream out loud, Baruch Shem Kvam Chus Havod, out loud. Why? We want to remind the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look, we all believe in one God, even though we don't keep all the other mitzvahs, but in the days of Yaakov Avinu, that was a big deal, so maybe give us a break, maybe forgive us for all of our averis. The rest of the averis are considered details. These four mitzvahs are the major mitzvahs. So that's a famous agarata. Nun vavam and aleph is a famous agarata. Then there's a Gemara in Dundalaram and Beis, also a famous Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes where the Tisha B'Av, Bein Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat or you're not allowed to eat. So we pass in the Maskanos of Gemara, Bein Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat. That was a big discussion in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz has a kasha against the Mechaber. Mechaber writes that Ochel She'emo Sakona is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. So the Taz asks a kasha against the Mechaber that there's a Chuvas Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Chuvas Maimini, where the Rabbeinu Tam said someone didn't feel well, he was Ochel She'emo Sakona. So the Rabbeinu Tam said he's permitted to eat on some Gedalia. So he says, why? Because Bizmana said some Gedalia is no longer B'divrei Kabbalah. If it would have been B'divrei Kabbalah, we would have said B'divrei Kabbalah K'divrei Torah Damyon, and we would only permit Achol Sheyesh B'Sakana to eat. But since Bizmana said it's Ratzim Misanim Ratzim Misanim, it's optional. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to. The only thing is, the Bahag, Taisus quotes Bahag, Kfar Shav Yuvalai Yechayva, meaning is that we fast on some Gedalia, we fast on Shavuos B'Tamuz and so on. So since it's only Toli and Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim, so Chodesh Em B'Sakana is allowed to eat. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that Bizman Hazeh, that fasting on some Gedalia and Shavuos B'Tamuz is really, strictly speaking, only a minig, because Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim, so Chodesh Em B'Sakana is allowed to eat. So the Taz Taina is against the Mechaber. How can the Mechaber say that on Tisha B'Av Gufa, Chodesh Em B'Sakana is permitted to eat? Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, is not totally Beratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. The Gemara says, because Huchbulu Bo Hatzaras, because so many terrible tragedies, Chum Beis HaMikdash twice, and so many other major tragedies occurred on Tisha B'Av, so that doesn't depend on Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So the Taz understood that fasting on Tisha B'Av is Manas as Medibri Kabbalah. So he asked the Kasha, if it's Medibri Kabbalah, then the Rabbeinu's Tam quoted the Gemara in Tainus, Dibri Kabbalah Kedibri Torah Damyan. So they only had to teach should be for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. How can the Mechaber quote the Ramban that Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana is allowed to eat? The Taz thinks the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. That's his kasha. That it should be Medivri Kabbalah. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. He says the Taz, with all due respect, made a mistake. He says the Rashbo, Chidush Rashbon, Rosh Hashanah was not yet printed during the lifetime of the Taz. So he wasn't aware that the Rashban Rosh Hashanah writes that as far as Dibri Kabbalah is concerned, when the Esther Shalat to Zechariah HaNovi, should they continue to fast on Tisha B'Av and so on. So as far as Dibri Kabbalah is concerned, Tisha B'Av is the same as all the other Tanaisim. And Mizman is that's Tali Beratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. The Gemara says Tisha B'Av is not Tali Beratzim, that's only Medir Rabban. Because you look in the text of the Nevuah Zechariah, Tisha B'Av is put together, Tzom Arviv, Tzom HaChamishah, Tzom HaAsiri, Tzom HaShvi, it's put together with the other Tanaisim. So the whole difference is only Midi Rabbanim. But the din is that Ben Hashmashas of Tisha B'Av is Aser, and Ben Hashmashas of the other Taneisim is Mutter. So does that indicate that Ben Hashmashas of Tisha B'Av is Mochomer? Because Tisha B'Av is Dibri Kabbalah, Kedibri Torah Damya, and that's why Sofik Vachomer, and Ben Hashmashas of the other Taneisim is Lekula, because the others are only Minig. It's Tali B'Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim, Kvashevi Olai Chayva. since only a minik sabin ashmashis is mutter. So the Avnei Nezer says, no, that's not why. It's not that Tisha B'Av is machomer, because it's dibre kabbalah, kedibre torah daimin, sofik deraisa luchomer. He says, no, Tisha B'Av is only midirabbanon, that you have to fast bizman hazeh. But you can't be mekel on bein hashmashis, because there are two bein hashmashis. Tisha B'Av you have to fast leila kiyoma, all 24 hours. So you have two bein hashmashis to discuss. The first bein hashmashis, if you say it's yom, that'll be lahakel. The second bein hashmashis, if you say it's yom, it's lahachmer. So he says, you can't be mekel on the first bein hashmashis, say that it's yom, because then you have to be machmer on the second bein hashmashis. You can't be mekel on the second one, say it's laila, that you're allowed to eat, then you have to be machmer on the first one. So he says, that's comparable to shteik deiris. That it says in Yeridei, it's in Mekuf Yer Aleph, if an Issa de Rabbana fell into one of two pots, and both pots of Supa Kosher, you know, in the way the Issa de Rabbana fell in, so you have to be machmer on both pots. If one pot is straight, one pot is kosher, and the Issa that fell in is only an Issa de Rabbanan, so tell him it's a kalkola bin Mekuf. You have a right to assume the Issa de Rabbana fell into the pot that's straight anyway. But if the Issa de Rabbana falls into one of two pots and they're both kosher, so then he says, it says in Yeridei, Kuf Yer Aleph, not allowed to eat either. You can't be mekel tarte de sasre by sveika de rabbanu lekulam. The Avnei Nezer in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, he answers the taina of the Taz. So he says the nashmashes of Tisha B'Av is also because it's shtei kederis. Tisha B'Av is only you have to fast mid the rabbanim. It's not dibre kabbalah kedibre torah. It's only mid the rabbanim bizman hazeh. Miiker dibre kabbalah, it's really ratzim misanim ratzim misanim. But because you have two bein hashmashes in, so it's like shtei kederis. You have to be machmar both. The other taneisim, you don't fast at night. So it's not leila kiyom. So you only have to worry about one bein hashmashes of sofa yom. So one bein hashmashes, you can say sveika derabbanan lekulam. Yeah, you can go lekulam. Tisha B'Av, you can't go lekulam. But it's not because Tisha B'Av is medivik kabbalah. No, it's not medivik kabbalah. That's what he tainas. The Gemara has the discussion. Tisha B'Av is not like a tainas sibur. In what way is it not like a tainas sibur? The Gemara says, on every tainas sibur, they used to recite ne'ila. We only say ne'ila on Yom Kippur, because there ain't tainas sibur b'bavol chutz me Yom Kippur. But Tisha B'Av, do you say ne'ila? Ne'ila is a tefilas ha'tainas. So the Gemara says, you don't say ne'ila.
Right.
So in the days of the Tanaim, the Mishnah say Neila is a prayer that was recited on every Tainas Tibur. Whenever the Bezim was goes to Tainas. Yeah. The reason why we say it on Yom Kippur is not because Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is a Tainas Tibur. So why don't we say Neila on Tisha B'Av?
Right, Tainas Tibur, right? You mean a public fast, right?
Right. If the Bezim was goes to Tainas. So the reason why we don't say Neila on Tisha B'Av is the same reason why we don't say Tiskabel. Because the Pasuk says in Echo, Gam Kiezak Vashabeh Asasam Tfilosi. When we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't answer the prayers like he used to, because the Beis HaMikdash is basically based Tfilah. The Mokam of the Tfilah is Beis HaMikdash, and the office is closed. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Tfilahs are no longer accepted the way they used to be accepted years ago. So that's why the meaning is we don't say Tiskabel Tzlosam. So the whole idea of Ne'ila is, the Gemara says, Al Taisiv Dabar El Ayad Badover Azeh. Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the secret. If you do Ribui Tefillah, if you ask the same thing time after time after time again, you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. So that's what Ne'ilah is all about. Ribui Tefillah, you offer an added prayer. But on Tisha B'Av, we are observing the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and the prayers are no longer answered the way they used to be. That's why we leave out Tiskabel. That's why on Tisha B'Av it doesn't make sense to say Ne'ilah. That's what the Gemara says. Tisha B'Av is not like a tiny Sibur, and therefore we don't say Ne'ilah.
Not like Tav Sibur, but it is a public. I thought Tav Sibur meant literally public fast.
You see, Asara B'Tevah Shavah Sebetam is also a public fast, but they don't have a din of tiny Sibur. And Tisha B'Av does have a din of Tainas Sibur. All the Inuyim are also Achidush Tiyasicha Nilas Asana Tashim Shamito.
Right.
That's called the Tainas Sibur. All the Hamisha Inuyim are also. Okay. But with respect to davening the Ilah, it's not Tainas Sibur. So the reason why is because since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so the Ribat Tefillah is not going to help. So that's a famous Gemara about Bein Hashmashas of Tisha B'Av, Bein Hashmashas of Yom Kippur, and so on. Then the Gemara has also, with respect to the six things that Dan Sheiricha did, so So one of the things had to do with Idulei Hegdish. Where's the Gemara? Ein Meila. Def. Here on Daf Nun Vav Amibay is about 7 lines from the top, 8 lines from the top. Gidulam Haboim Lacha Mikan Askinu. There were stumps of trees that their ancestors had been magdish, and then the tree developed into a big, gigantic tree. So that's Gidulei Hegdish. The Sabri Lokam and the Amar, they hold with the Shita Ein Mila B'Gidulim. There's no din of Moel B'Hegdish. If the one who was magdish, the tree only had a tiny little tree, and then it grows a big thing, so there's no din of Me'ila on that. So that's the Machloikas between the Anshe Yericho and the Rabbonim, whether there's an Issa the Rabbonim. So they held Rabbanan Sarvi Nehid Mila Leka Isura Miyuika. There's an Issa de Rabbanan. Ashiricha didn't even hold that there's an Issa de Rabbanan. So the Chachamim were upset about that. So why is there taka such a din? Ain Meila Bigidulim? How come there's no Meila Bigidulim? So there's a Ritvo in Baba Basra, has a famous comment on the Ramban. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Pei Aleph. The Gemara says, Higdish Bor Min Ismali Mayim. I donate a boar to Hegdish. I donate a field with a boar. And then after I'm Magdish, the boar belongs to Hegdish. It rains, and the boar gets filled up with water. So the let's say if the boar would belong to me, so I would be kind of the water with the Kinyan Chotzer, so no one else has a right to take my water. So here I was Magdish, the boar. So the boar belongs to Hegdish, and when it rains, it gets filled up with water, so the water should belong to Hegdish. And Gemara says, there's no me'ila. If you'll use the water, someone will drink the water, use the water to wash their dishes or something, there won't be any din of me'ila. Why not? So Tosis has a famous comment on that Gemara, because Hegdish is not kind of with the Kinya Chotze. Question is, why not? And there's the Aguda has the comment on that Gemara that the Magen Avraham quotes in Ilchus Beis HaKnesses. If someone loses something in the shul, so the Chotze Hegdish is not kind of. So the shul is like chutz hegdish, is not kind of the aveda. So if a private person comes, the Gemara says in Eilu Metzias, if you find an aveda in the shul and you know that there was yush, you can keep it. How can you keep it? Why don't you say that the chutz hegdish is kind of, the shul should be kind of? So the Aguda writes on that Taisus and Bava Bas on Daf Pei Aleph and the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Aguda that the chutz hegdish is not kind of. Chutz Beis HaKnesses has a status like chutz hegdish. But then Rabbi Kivege writes there on the bottom of the page there in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses on that Magen Avraham, he says the Ramban disagrees because on that Taisus Kasha and Bava Basra and Peyalik, Higdish Bor Ben Ismalei Mayim, how come there's no Me'ila on the water? So Taisus gave the answer, Hegdish is not kind of with the Kinya Chotzer. Ramban says, not true, Hegdish is kind of with the Kinya Chotzer. But it's a secular bailus. Hegdish owns it, but it does not Kedushas Hegdish. It's Mammon Hegdish without having Kedushas Hegdish. So since there was no Kedushas Peh, so that's why there's no Me'ila. You're not allowed to take the water, it's gzela, but it's like stealing from a private person. It doesn't have Kedushas Hegdish. In order to have Kedushas Hegdish, you have to have Kedushas Peh. A person has to donate and say, Hareza Hegdish, I declare it as Hegdish. The Ritvo there in Bava Basra, Peyalef, quotes that from the Ramban. The Ramban has an Chidushim. The Ritvo says, and that's the reason why there's a din here, Gidulei Hegdish, there's no Ein Me'ila B'Gidulim. Why? Because there was only Kedushas Peh on the little stump of the tree or on the sapling. And the rest that grows, Hegdish acquires ownership because Aroi Yashbach, Akarka Shali Hishbiach. If you own a field and something grows in the field, so because the field is yours, so whatever parents grow also belong to you. But you can't say that there was a Kedushas Peh. It has it's Mammon Hegdish. The Gedulim are Mammon Hegdish, but it's not Kedushas Hegdish. So that's how the Ritvo interprets our Gemara. There's no Me'ila, the Gedulei Hegdish, because they never had a Kedushas Peh. He says he understands it according to the Ramban.
So if somebody loses something in the shul, even though the Yush, it'll belong to the board or to the... Because
Rabbi Kivega says, according to the Ramban, Hegdish is kind of with the Kinyan Chotzer. So the Beis HaKnesses ought to be kind of.
Yeah.
Beis HaKnesses should be kind of. Yeah. And whoever finds it shouldn't have the right to keep it. The problem is the Gemara in Eilu Metzias says, if you find that Aved and Beis HaKnesses, you can keep it.
Yeah.
So why wasn't the Beis HaKnesses kind of with the Kinyan Chotzer? It's only the chiddush of the Magen Avraham called the chiddush of the Aguda, but doesn't say beferish in the Gemara. I don't know. What does he do? What does he do with the Gemara?
I would think that if I owned a field with a spring in it, let's say fresh water there,
right,
and the public, when they walk by, they help themselves with like a drink, it's fine. But if I should, I would think myself, I should never give it to Chekdesh because they can now they own it, and they might think to drink now, you steal it from Chekdesh. That's what I'm thinking now.
Right.
Right or wrong,
right? Okay, right.
That's rude. Right? So I'd better if I don't make my...
We've got to make it haggish. People can't drink. They can't use the water. It'll be osa b'ano.
Never donated to the Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
Forbidden for the public to drink the water.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So that's a famous Gemara, this Gidulei Hekdesh. Yeah. Some Svarim quote Akasha. How can the Ritva say there's no me? How can the Ramban say there's no me if there's no Kedushas Peh? But Bechor is Kodesh Merechem. A Bechor Behemoth Torah is a Korban, and there is no Kedushas Peh. So the truth of the matter, there's no me'ilah on b'chor because it's kachim kala. But that's not true. There is me'ilah on the emurim. After zrikas adam on the emurim of kachim kalam, there is me'ilah because the emurim are considered kachim kachim. So how can there be me'ilah on the emurim kachim kalam of a b'chor? It never had a kedushas peh. That's the kasha that the Velt asked. I thought the kasha is a mistake. The Ramban's yisoid that you can have a concept of momen hegdish that's not kedushas hegdish. That's only by other things, but not by karbonas. Karbonas, of course, they have kedushas hegdish. B'chor behemoth Torah, Avada has kedushas hegdish. He's talking about hegdish bar minis malei mayim, secular. He says there's a secular ownership. Hegdish owns momen hegdish, even though there's no kedushas hegdish. But it can't apply to b'chor behemoth Torah. Has a kedushas karbona. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. I understand that after the summer we're going to be learning the beginning of Yevamos. Okay, with me. Start the beginning of Yevamos. I haven't learned Yevamos in many years. Yeah.
You're going to Spain, well,
going to Spain tomorrow, yes.
We're going to